Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. Their Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, as we are waiting for things to continue to unfold, and yes, it's not easy, to say the least, but I thought that on occasion I would try to jump in when I can, when things aren't absolutely insanely crazy at work. And I wish I didn't have to work and stuff, but, you know, it is what it is. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, please anoint this program. And for those who need to understand such things or want to know more about these kinds of things, I just pray that it will just allow it to anoint their hearts and help them to be able to understand the dynamics that are occurring on the earth that nobody else is talking about. Hardly anybody talks about these things. And I praise you, Father, because for 15 years we've been covering this material, and I don't know any place you can go to hear about any of this anymore, Father. So I praise you. I thank you, Father, for all of this stuff that we've been talking about for so long, that now we're seeing it made manifest before us. It becomes a reality in our world. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will protect us from prying eyes of the darkness, that you will count us all worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before you. But in the meantime, Father, anoint this program, protect us from those prying eyes. And we do pray, please count us worthy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, so anyway, I thought I would go ahead, and we were talking a little bit about, you know, behind the scenes, we were talking about how insanely hot it is in the summers. We've all heard about, you know, weather changes and things like that. These ridiculous claims about carbon, which is just, you know, you really just have to be IQ under 50 because nobody in their right mind would buy any of that baloney. And I got better words than baloney, if you know what I mean. But I'm not going to use them. All right. So anyway, I thought that we would do on occasion when I have a chance, kind of a short version of what I used to do in much longer programs. And today, because of the higher temperatures than, you know, right now, a lot of people, we have, I have friends that are up in Ontario, Canada. I have people, you know, my family's up in Pennsylvania, which is 1,200 miles further north than where I am here in Tampa, Florida. In Tampa, Florida, right now, we're dealing with 94 degrees Fahrenheit. Which I do believe, I figured that out a second ago, and I did text it to somebody. Hold on just a second. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, wouldn't you know it? There we go. Let's see if I can find it. All right. Praise you, Father. Okay. So anyway, it would be 34.4 degrees centigrade. That's the literal temperature, by the way, right now here in Tampa. All right. And oh gosh, I have so much to share. So anyway, I'm gonna do the best I can. This is hard because there's so much to share. But anyway, That's a very hot temperature. And that is not a feels-like temperature, by the way. The feels-like temperature is much, much higher. And I've had people in Pennsylvania that I know that are part of my family complaining about how hot it was. A couple of years ago, I went up in June, and it was 111 degrees in southern central Pennsylvania, which is ridiculous. Right now, we're getting reports of 30 degrees centigrade up in Ontario, and it's supposed to get much hotter tomorrow. Thank you, Brother Justin. But anyway, so what's up with all of this stuff? Well, I'm going to tell you. There's a reason why the introductory audio that I play has Planet X, Nibiru, you know, all these kinds of, because these things are all a part of our reality even now. All right. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to demonstrate this to you through testimonies that I have saved, even a published Cornell, it was published on Cornell University, but it was written by a person by the name, a scientist by the name of Lorenzo Lorio. And I'm going to get into that in a second, in a couple of seconds. Now, but anyway, before I get into this, I wanted to share a testimony. I have a friend of mine who's located over in France. Now, Europe is having a much worse problem than we are, you know, at this time. Here in the West, the illusion of the magician level, Scottish Rite, draconian filth, that child molester, rapist, you call them what you will, of Draco T., you know, deny what you will, but we've seen, you know, those of us who were paying attention saw the files and got pictures and stuff, you know, that are not photoshopped. It's not AI. But anyway, so I wanted to share this with you because a lot of folks in the West, on the Western Hemisphere, on this side, you know, Mexico, and I, you know, and who knows where people are in their walk or what they understand, because it's all over the road. But anyway, a lot of the things that people think are not accurate. And I thought what I would try to do is pop out some occasional quick programs that address those misconceptions. And I have done some intermittent discussions regarding host-based entities versus spiritual-based entities versus, you know, because it's so important. The entry-level viewpoint of most people is that aliens are demons. I thought it at one time, too, okay? But the Lord will grow you up over time, and he told me that that was supposed to be a focus area for me, which I made it so. And I read many books on it, and I can share a lot of that material with you on other programs. But anyway, that's all kind of beside the point. People are tricked by its counterintelligence, this paper that they found out there that if you read it today, it sounds like it was written by a three-year-old, supposedly a person by the name of Sergio Maness that wrote Project Bluebeam. Well, that's a hoax. Okay, you want some... Let me tell you something. The Bible, now, whether or not they try to play around with that kind of trickery or whatever the case, it's really kind of beside the point. Because the Bible, Isaiah 13 is about aliens. Joel 2 is about aliens. I've done programs on this stuff. I've had guests on the show that the Lord has brought to the program. I've done all this kind of stuff. We talked about it since 2011 for a very long time. Now, anyway, I'm just going to divert from that particular item, and I'm going to share with you real quick a quick testimony of somebody who's over in the European area where things are, well, not quite as, you know, like the average American that's so busy, like, because that's the way Satan wants things, so busy trying to survive, stay at work, you know, that kind of thing, which pretty soon I'll probably be thrust into myself again. But this particular testimony is very important. I'm going to give it to you real quick before we get into the Planet X stuff. All right, so there's a lady over there who has a couple of kids, and right after she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she was listening to one of the prayer vigils that we were doing, and I did some coaching on the show about how you can receive, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues. And she received it at that time. Well, wouldn't you know it, Shortly thereafter, I get a communication. First and foremost, she's like really thrilled about this, and she's, you know, jumping for joy. Then her husband comes in and says, I want a divorce. That is perfect Satan. Satan 101, basic stuff. You're going to go under attack immediately. Now, that's normal. Absolutely normal for anybody who understands the Krishna walk. And if it's not, and if it's not normal to you, well, you better do some self introspection. Think about it. Now, anyway, it's just because it even says in the book of Acts, it says, you know, that no one shall enter into heaven without having, you know, tribulation, trouble. All right. That's not the great tribulation. That's trouble, hard times, difficult times, attacks from Satan, all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, she was going through all of that for a while, like, well over a year, because how are you going to re-employ a lady who has two children and has been deserted by her husband? Okay, that's the situation we're dealing with. In a bad economy where you have to go driving from store to store to store to find maybe four eggs that are going to cost you like $15. Okay, that's how bad things are in France and Belgium and some of these other places in Europe that we over here are not aware of. And the reason why it's not being allowed to happen here right now is because Satan needs to keep the evangelical so-called churches that are worshiping the Star of Remphan or Molech, all right, or the Synagogue of Satan, or whatever you want to call it, okay, he got to keep them asleep. Because if they wake up from their trance, well, that's bad for Satan. So he's got to keep them asleep and following all the Schofield lies. All right, enough said. So anyway, this was going on. I won't go through the whole list of different jobs that she was trying to get and all this kind of stuff. She put a lot of effort into it. Anyway, long story short, and it is a long story, we put a lot of prayer power into it. In fact, we prayed fervently and in tears. I know I did. And I know she probably did even more than me. And when you pray fervently in tears, God comes. He responds to that. Okay. As a matter of fact, this is highly scriptural, and it says so in in 2 Kings 20 verse 5. It says, "This is the King Hezekiah." It says in the scripture, "I have seen your tears, and I will answer you." Okay, so there's your scriptural backing, and I've got testimonies. I mean, which I can't go into because I'll lose too much time. But here's the important part. So we were praying fervently because she got dropped from several jobs that were just ridiculous. The things they were asking her to do, they're never going to find anybody to fill those jobs. I mean, the stuff is just beyond ridiculous. Now, all that being said, I told her, I said, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Do not worry about it. Do not worry about that kind of thing. So we were going back and forth and praying fervently. Okay. I prayed in tears. Okay. Fervently. Okay. Again, 2 Kings 20 verse 5. Look it up. Now, and I got a story about, General Booth and all that. And it's just, oh gosh, there's so much. But, you know, I'm an avid book reader. I read about God's generals, God's, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, A.A. Allen, Lester Sumrall. I fervently read these things. I understand these things. Okay, so anyway, so we were really leaning in hard, praying, and believing, and lo and behold, I'm probably going to dork up the order of events, but lo and behold, an opportunity shows up, and she discovers it because she's hooked up with, you know, places that help you find jobs naturally. And it turns out that it was a financial institution that had locations. One was very far away, wouldn't have allowed her to take care of her kids. And the other one was nearby, which, by the way, is pretty far away from where, you know, it's Grasse, France, and it's, you know, it's far away. So anyway, here's the thing. After we leaned in on our prayer, out of the clear blue sky, bam, she's like, oh my gosh. So she goes, she sees this financial institution, which is what she used to do professionally for a living. She goes in, gets an interview, goes in and tells the lady, yep, I got kids. She tells her the total truth. And I'm the whole story, which, by the way, in most job interviews would completely eradicate you from consideration. But not in this case, because her hiring manager happened to be a lady who obviously had some sort of probably past experiences. Who knows? But she connected. Now, she went in for the interviews, but then she came back to the house. And she was very concerned because there were other people that needed to be interviewed. And, oh my gosh, what happens if she doesn't get the job? Blah, 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 blah. And she was letting me know these concerns. And I said to her, stop. Now it's time to worship. You need to stop asking Jesus for anything and lay back or get on your knees, however you want to do it, but you need to forget about asking for another thing. It is done. Now you need to worship. Well, she did that. She spent probably many, many, many hours worshiping. And she had a peace come over her. And then she wasn't worried anymore. Well, what do you know? The phone rings and she is all worried because she missed a call. And I told her, don't worry about that. I even sent her a little write-up, you know, about what's the possibility that missing a call would, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I said, just read this. It doesn't mean anything. And she's like, okay. I said, now forget about it and worship. Next thing you know, she gets a call. It was a call that she missed earlier. And this call was the hiring manager telling her that not only is she going to bring her in as an employee under the contracts that they do over there in Europe, but after the contract is over, she's going to put her into a permanent position in the location that is nearby her house. Or her flat, they call it, over there. Things are very different in Europe, okay? They got boilers. Whoever invented boilers was an insane person that should have been locked up a long time ago. They're ridiculously in Europe. Oh, Lord. God help us all. But anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and jump in to this crazy Nibiru Planet X stuff. But first, I want to let you know that if you want to learn more and more about a lot of the things that are happening and that are going to happen, you need to take the time. I'm sorry. I don't want to be imposing upon your time, but I do highly recommend that you take the time to go to tribulationnow.com. Two N's in the middle. All right. When you go there, you need to go and look for the, it's kind of a nuclear looking picture. And the title is Claims That Iran Has Gone Nuclear. Now, my email sending application is not working correctly, and I'm kind of not happy about it. And I just can't figure it out, and I just want to whack them upside the head because I'm paying for it. But anyway, that's beside the point. Go and look again. Forget about any email that you may have received with that same title. Forget it. Go to the website. Because it will talk to you about the Saramaneh vision. The Saramaneh vision is absolutely on target. Not only that, but there's a link for you to listen to the double, not the one, but the double Saramaneh radio show. I put them together into one show, and there's a link that you can click. It says Saramaneh radio show, and the one above it says the Saramaneh vision. Now, and I've been collecting prophecies, dreams, and visions for 15 years. And the Lord told me to stop it. Why? Because I received from the Lord, okay, it's a long story, but basically we're dealing in a very dangerous time right now. And the Lord told me, do not listen to anything else. You're done. I will give you what you need. Okay, so I'm supposed to remain independent. Okay, and no, I'm not going to sing the song from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. All right, now, let's talk about Planet X. Why is the weather so crazy? I'm going to tell you. By the way, this is covered in the Sarah Monet vision too. I want to let you know that the reason why I put the Sarah Monet vision in the nuclear Iran article is because she saw, when she was in heaven, in this incredible vision, all the way back to 79. She's passed on and gone to heaven right now, and I'm very, very jealous. Which you're allowed to be. You're allowed to be covetous of godly things. But anyway, she goes in. There's great detail. If you don't take the time to read this, okay, you're making a mistake. I'm just going to let you know. We need to refresh our memories on these things. And in here, she sees the third seal, financial collapse. I gave subtitles to it. Chemical attacks, Ebola-like, you know, hemorrhagic fever breaking out in the United States. Diseases, murder, mayhem, EMP, no electricity. Both United States and Israel, the two most judged countries in the entire world. I wonder why. No, I don't. But anyway, one of the things she saw was a nuclear missile being launched into Israel. Now, when she saw that, it was coming from Libya. Libya. L-I-B-Y-A. Everybody says Libya, but it's Libya. Now, and the Lord told her when she was seeing the vision of the nuclear missile going to Israel from Libya, the Lord said, that is from Iran. So he impressed upon her that that was from Iran. Now, that's why I put that inside that particular article. And I talk about it in the text of the article, which is why my dumb old mailing application with the articles is failing me, because all it did was link to the doggone video, which is bad, because I always put stuff in there. Those two links are very important for you to be aware of, because, as it turns out, she even sees Planet X towards the very end. Now then, this is going to be happening mostly when it becomes visible as part of the Great Tribulation, actually at the very in the midst of Revelation 6:12 through 17. Verse 6:17 says, in the day of his wrath, Jesus's wrath has, or our Father's wrath, oh, they're one in the same, John 10:30, but has come, and who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? Which, by the way, maps over to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It says, you are not appointed to wrath. So the two go together. Now, you talk to somebody who went to Bible college, and they're going to go, no, because they were improperly trained, and they shouldn't even be, and they call themselves THDs and stuff. No, they don't get it. There's no spiritual understanding of the scripture whatsoever. Period. Now, that makes a very difficult situation, and I praise Jesus. I have never had any formal training. My training came from the Lord. Now, and I won't let anybody convince me to listen to anybody else. I simply won't. Because the Lord told me not to. He'll give me things when I need to have them and to share them. Now then, I'm going to go ahead and share this with you before I run out of time. But after she, I just want to close this out. Remember, after she let it go and started to worship, remember the walls of Jericho. Remember, oh boy, here we go. More attacks coming in. Might be Hezbollah. If it's Hezbollah, it's probably no big deal. They'll just shoot them down. Or theoretically. But, oh, goodness gracious. I actually silenced my phone. So this is breaking through my silencing of my phone. I apologize for that, but whatever. It's the times we live in right now. So anyway, would you please be quiet? I can't shut this thing off. Once it gets going, it's going to wail and wail and wail. So evidently, there are some significant missile action going on right now. And it may, like I said, it may be from Hezbollah. Keep in mind that strategically speaking, those who are fighting against Israel, or fake Israel, really, I mean, when it comes down to it, Schofield's Israel, with the Star of Molech, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and Baal and everything. And it's all on my website. You can just go and look at it. It's undeniable. Now, anyway, Now, I wanted to get into why is it so hot? Why is it so insane? What is going on here? Because these are things I covered in a great detail. Now, the first thing I'm going to share with you is a little 2-minute, 35-second snippet of a man that they used to call Arizona. Now, that was his nickname, and he would go on radio shows. This is going all the way back to like 2011. Okay, that's when the audio bites started to surface from various radio shows that were out there. Actually, I think it was more like 2009, 2010. But anyway, so count your years, if you will, so that you can kind of play a game of catch up. But I'm going to share this with you because I can tell you that I have a very large document that's all about Nibiru, all about Planet X, all about all the documents, all about the prophecies, everything. It's all in there. I've got it all in there. Okay, but you don't hear anybody say anything about it anymore. You know why? Yeah, you guessed it. SOS. Very good. All right, so anyway, listen to this. This is a person that went by the nickname, for radio shows purposes, he called himself Arizona. All right, praise Jesus. Now, I'm double checking my timing here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, good. All right, because right now I'm technically on the clock, but I'm not on the clock, and I can't even, my boss was on vacation. It's a long story. I mean, forget about it. All right, so here we go. Ready, get set. Time to talk about the insane weather.
It's not normal.
All right. So anyway, I'm going to start out with playing you this little snippet from Arizona. Now, I can tell you, he's correct. Now, why can I tell you that? Because I've been studying this for years. I've paid $30 to $50 for seminars that were coming from Project Camelot. I've listened to some of the greatest experts and authors on this subject. I've been tracking this going all long, long, long time ago.
John, here's your reminder.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I've got to kill that stupid reminder. Isn't life fun? When you're a techno geek, you put geeky things around, and then when the power goes out, you're like, oh no, what do I do now? But anyway, here we go. This is the guy that was called Arizona. He was all over different radio shows. And here we go. Listen to this. This is correct, by the way.
Back in the 1950s, most people aren't aware of it, but there was a scientific storm in America all through the late 50s about this thing out there in space, because the astronomers were all watching it, and that was back when they weren't afraid to talk about it. It was in the science magazines. I mean, I had a subscription to, like, Popular Science, and hell, it was on the front cover of the magazine one day in, like, 1961. And I was really excited when I saw it, because here's this giant red planet on the horizon of the California coast, and a humongous tidal wave coming in towards the coast, and having grew up in the mountains of the Sierras, and this thing in the magazine, it said this tidal wave coming in was going to be at least 3 miles high, and I went and showed it to everybody in the house, and they laughed, and they said, look, it says right here, there's nothing to worry about, it won't be here for another 50 years. Hey, guess what? That 50 years has came and gone. And this baby's out there in the sky. They've been watching it. I watched it. And I can tell you, this thing has got so much trash coming around it. You know how we live in a solar system? We've got 9 planets and a big sun. This thing has got 7 planets and its own sun. But I believe that instead of having dirt on it like our planet does and water, I think this thing is just a big, bright reddish-orange iron ball, because it's giving off all this red iron oxide dust out into the atmosphere. When we thought at first it was just a teeny little red speck of fuzzy red dust in the distance, but over the years as it went by and we watched it, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then finally, about 08, we could see this thing like it was across the street. And we could see that it was a blazing hot ball of fire giving out sparkles of red iron oxide dust for thousands of miles in every direction. and you could see the planets circulating it. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I really am nervous about. I think this thing's got a planet like ours circling it. This is its own solar system. We're about to have a solar system come through the middle of our solar system. This can't be good. But unfortunately, it looks as though that's what's going to happen. Hopefully nothing in this mess will hit us, even though it does say it will in the Bible, leastwise it does in my Bible. It says we can expect all kinds of problems.
All right. So, that's true. Okay, I knew it was true when I heard it, and I immediately recorded it. And I used to play it, you know, on programs whereby, oh gosh, here come more missiles. Dagnabbit, I got to turn that off. So there's a whole nother deal going on right now over in Israel. It's been dragging on. Praise Jesus. But it's a big deal. So anyway, let me just go ahead and turn off Red Alert. It's good to have, but if you forget to turn it off, it'll wake you up in the middle of the night. Nothing will. You can't shut it up for your life. Anyway, so praise God. So you just heard the commentary by this guy that was known as Arizona, and he was going from radio show to radio show. I have a whole bunch of clips from this guy. I'm not saying I agree totally with everything, but you know what? The funny thing about it, a lot of things that he talks about that sound crazy are actually verifiable in the scripture. But many people don't know their Bible that well, so they're kind of like, wait a minute, where's that at? You know, but, you know, if you're like me and you've read the New Testament, like, you know, I don't even know how many times I have, then, you know, you know where it is, or you can find it really quick. Anyway, so there you have the introduction of the audio bite from this guy, Arizona. Now, what about the weird weather? Now, real quick, I'm just going to let you know this. Okay, so Planet X is mentioned by Sarah Manet in her 1979 vision. She talks about mega quakes worldwide and all that other stuff. But she also mentions, and I gave like little subtitles. She said she wasn't sure if she was getting things in exactly the right order. She wrote that into her vision, because that's very common, by the way. And here she says, I gave it a subtitle, Planet X, Huge Whirlwind, People Hiding in the Rocks. Now, this is the sixth seal here. Okay. And she says, next, I saw a mighty wind come upon the earth. And there's a sick there, you know, But anyway, she says, as the wind hit, I saw people going into caves, into cracks in the rocks, trying to escape its fury. Now, think about this. This stuff is all talked about in Revelation 6, 12 through 17. That's part of the day of the Lord. It says, it appeared to be stronger than any hurricane or tornado. It seemed that everything that I had, that had been left was, that was not blown away. It seemed that everything that I that had been left was now blown away. Sorry about that. The text is really small. I understood without asking that the great worldwide earthquake and the mighty wind were somehow caused by a huge planet-like object that had come very close to the earth and had disrupted everything. It also was made clear to me that it was very near the end when that happened. No way, right? 1979? Listen to her testimony. Read it. You really should. Refresh your memory. Praise God if you've already heard some of this stuff. Now, along with that, the Lord tossed over to me, and these things were, ultimately, they were disconnected. I got them at different periods of time, but I interconnected them because I remember things like an elephant. I never forget nothing. Praise God. So anyway, except sometimes by chapter and verse, if I don't practice it real regular, which my time is oftentimes limited. But anyway, as you know, praise Jesus. So anyway, so I'm going to play for you this. The Lord hooked me up with this. Now, I'm not going to give you the testimony about how unbelievably impossible it was that I stumbled across this, which was all God. But I'm going to play it for you because it explains these concepts. Now, you heard Arizona. Oh, by the way, he was one of the mass back way back around about 2009, 2008. There was a massive layoff at NASA. A lot of people don't remember that stuff. I do. Massive layoff. And he was caught up in that layoff. That's when he started going around on the radio circuit. All right. But again, a lot of people don't remember those things. And I do. Like it was yesterday. Praise God. So anyway, this I stumbled across supernaturally because the Lord placed it right in front of me. It's essentially a thing that was on the Weather Channel with a special series. Now, you can't find this anymore. It's nowhere to be found out there. But there's a dagnabbit good reason for it, because they're trying to choke down, you know, alpha gal ticks on us and make us sick on meat. And it has nothing to do with the weather. Has nothing to do with carbon, but people actually believe that stuff. It's astonishing. But anyway, this was what the Lord hooked me up with way back in, I don't know, 2010 maybe. Anyway, I'm going to play this for you. Listen to this.
So we really can't know with great certainty what is going to happen if a rogue planet comes into our solar system. We can run computer models, we can make educated guesses, but at this point is a purely hypothetical phenomenon.
Here is one possible scenario. A rogue planet suddenly appears on the fringes of our solar system. As the rogue streaks past the outer planets, the whole solar system begins to change. The rogue's gravitational pull alters the orbit of Jupiter. Jupiter, in turn, pulls the Earth out of its nearly circular orbit to an elliptical orbit.
If it passed near the Earth, then the Earth's orbit would be changed almost instantaneously.
This new orbit takes the Earth as close to the Sun as Venus and as far out as Mars. Although we still remain in the habitable zone in this new elliptical orbit, our climate would begin to alter drastically. For most, the change is so gradual that at first, it's hardly noticed. The days grow longer and the nights get colder, but life goes on as before. But over the next few months, a slow-motion global disaster begins to unfold.
There's a common misconception that the Earth's seasons are driven by our distance either toward or away from the sun, where summer is when the Earth is closest to the sun and winter is when it's farthest away. That's not true. Right now, it's the Earth's tilt that causes summer and winter. So when your side of the planet's facing toward the sun, it's summer. And when your side of the planet's facing away, it's winter.
The entire planet would have summer at the same time because it's very close to the sun. And then the entire planet then experiences winter at the same time when you're farthest away from the sun.
So the Earth would enter a new climate phase where you would have short but intense summers and then very long winters.
All right. So what you had was kind of a mixed collection of opinions that were being presented by meteorologists and specialists and scientists and the whole thing in that little collection. What they don't understand, and what 99.99999% of other people do not understand, is just like what Arizona said. It's a solar system. It has seven orbiting planets. And Nibiru, e.g. Planet X, is a failed yellow dwarf star, like our star is starting to fail, which is one of the reasons why a third of the grass and a third of the trees will burn, because there's solar flares actually cause megaquakes. I brought that up on a show that with a guy that was very scientific and done. He was like, no way, I never thought about that. But you know, think about it. It actually talks about it in the Bible. In the repeat of in Acts 2, I do believe it is, is it 15 through 28? But anyway, at the very end, around Acts 2:28, it says, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke, and all those who call out upon the name of the Lord have been saved. Why do you think there would be all that? It's volcanic activity. It's the things that we see happening right now. There are people on all over the place, but you know, Suspicious Observers has a little deal on X. You know, he comes on there. There's other ones, other people that are specializing in solar physics, and they're calling out the fact that we're getting a lot of X, you know, flares, a lot of filaments that are coming pointing directly at Earth. The Aurora Borealis is falling all the way down past, you know, New York and sometimes even further down south. This is a pretty regular occurrence right now. All right. We just had an 8.2 in the Philippines, which had a secondary quake of 7.6, and they just got absolutely decimated. And they had tsunami warnings. I forgot to turn off my alert, and my phone was going crazy. I got no sleep last night. It was just, Anyway, so praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for, you know, looking at the end time stuff, because it's a full-time, sometimes it seems like a full-time job. Well, it kind of is. All right. So anyway, then you might say, well, that's all kind of in it, but isn't that sort of like, you know, theoretical? No, it's not theoretical. In fact, it is absolutely happening. In the 1990s, in the early 1990s, and I don't even know if this is available on the internet right now because the forces of darkness would have pulled it down, but there was a man by the name of Admiral Harrington. He was the chief astronomer, the head guy for the United States Naval Observatory. Okay, this was a big, fancy position. Well, back in the early 90s, he had talked to Zechariah Sitchin, and I know that, you know, there are certain people out there, I could name their names, but I'm not going to do it, that said that Sitchin lies and all that kind of stuff. And I'm here to tell you, no, he wasn't. Excuse me, I've been getting this thing, but whatever, it's going away. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. And Admiral Harrington had a conversation with him, and he was like, wow, that's amazing, because, you know, these are, you know, Epic of Gilgamesh and all this kind of stuff. The stuff, the ancient Sumerian writings reveal Nibiru. And who were the Sumerians? They hung out with fallen angels. They weren't sitting around making clay cylinders to bury in the land of Ur, right down the road from Job's house, okay, so they could, you know, smoking peyote buttons or whatever, and snickering and going, let's go ahead and put this all in clay cylinders and bury it here so we can trick everybody into 21st century. Or the 20th century, whatever you want, but mostly 21st. Anyway. Now, so there was a scientific paper, and I had some famous people on the radio show, okay? And hold on a second. Let me go ahead and zoom this in because my eyes are 64 years old, and I have to be able to see it up close. All right. So there was a scientist, and I had a very famous person on there on the radio show, and they had misquoted him. I got myself into a jam because, you know, I'd bring people on the radio show. They were really, really famous, and they had a lot of pride, and they wrote a lot of DVDs, and, you know, they were the de facto experts on these things having to do with aliens and all that kind of stuff, and, well, I'm sorry, but they were wrong about a lot of things. So I would ask them, what about, you know, the stones in Pumapunku? What, you know, aren't they 150 tons? And, oh, I hadn't thought about it. And it was like, yeah. So they, of course, you know, they wouldn't want to come back on the radio show because of their pride. Instead, you know, it's like, you know, because they're supposed to be it. Okay. You know, people just have pride, which is, of course, a sin. You don't get into these kinds of things unless you're willing to eat crow. You have to be willing to be ready to learn something more. Because 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know. There are multiple dimensions, multiple universes, trillions of life forms, trillions of galaxies, and this galaxy might even be trapped inside of a black hole, which would make a lot of sense because where would our Heavenly Father contain Satan and the fallen angels and all the other stuff? And what about the bands of Orion? What about the Orion Nebula? What about, can you, it's all in the book of Job. You know, can you guide the sons of Arcturus? You know, can you loose the bands of Orion or the belts of Orion? Folks, I'm telling you, this stuff is all for real. Now, so regarding this concept of the planets being pulled into elliptic orbit around the sun. Because, see, a brown dwarf, when a yellow dwarf collapses, when it fails totally, it collapses down into what's called a brown dwarf. When a yellow dwarf collapses, and by the way, although they have now discredited this on Wikipedia because they're a bunch of lying Satanists, okay, and they don't want us to know about this, the fact of the matter is the Milky Way galaxy is absolutely gushing with what's called binary star systems, and they're almost always yellow dwarfs. And we have a yellow dwarf star system, and we also have a binary star system. The other star system is the Nibiru star system, which has a 3600. Some people argue it's a lesser orbit, a lesser periodicity. That may be true. I don't know, but the common understanding is it's a 3600 year periodicity before Nibiru. The actual failed solar system, which has the brown dwarf star, which is minus 273 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you go out and you do some study, like a lot of famous people who wrote a lot of books did not do, which used to just drive me crazy. But anyway, the Mount Graham Vatican VAT telescope has the Lucifer. That's what they actually called it. They called it the Lucifer attachment. Go to Google and search on Vatican VAT telescope Lucifer attachment, and you'll find some Popular Mechanics thing out there that actually gives you the acronym. They actually made an acronym specially to say Lucifer. Now then, here's the thing. So this elliptical concept of anything that's highly magnetic, like a brown dwarf, and boy, oh boy, are they highly magnetic. Okay, so they upset something fierce, the normal a circular, perfectly circular, elliptic plane orbit of the planets. The elliptic plane, it's like a record album, and all the planets are orbiting the sun on this perfectly flat plane. Excuse me. I got this post-nasal drip thing that suddenly came on. I don't even know why. But anyway, I'll ditch it. But so I'm going to read this to you because here's a little piece of interesting science going all the way back to 2011. This is from 22 April of 2011. This is when it's stamped. Okay, this was when Cornell University had it on their website. Is it still there? Highly unlikely, given how much Satan and the SOS has tried to pull this bait and switch on people that I don't understand basic science. Remember, God created all of these things. Okay? Get it? Now, this is a scientist named L. Lorio. The name of the scientific paper is entitled On the Anomalous Secular Increase of the Eccentricity of the Orbit of the Moon. And it says in the abstract, that's the little summary of the white paper, it says, a recent analysis of a lunar laser ranging LLR data recording spanning 38.7 years revealed an anomalous increase, a strange increase, in the eccentricity of the lunar orbit, amounting to, and then he puts in a formula there, and then it says, the present-day models of the dissipative phenomena occurring in the interiors of both the Earth and the Moon are not able to explain it. In this paper, we examine several dynamical effects not modeled in the data analysis. In the framing of the long-range modified models of gravity, okay, which is actually, I'm not a gravitational person, but anyway, it's more electromagnetic, but it's a whole nother thing. And the gravity and the standard, quote, Newtonian Einsteinian paradigm. It turns out that none of them can accommodate the this part of the mathematical equation. He puts it up there and he says, many of them do not even induce long-term changes in the mathematical equation and instead yield such an effect, but the resulting magnitude are in disagreement with this part of the equation. And then he goes, in particular, the general relativistic gravitomagnetic, by the way, that's more accurate than Newtonian physics, gravitomagnetic acceleration of the moon into an elliptical orbit due to the Earth's angular momentum, are you picking this up, has the right order of magnitude, but the resulting lens-Thuring secular effect for the eccentricity vanishes. A potential, listen to this, very important, a potential viable Newtonian candidate would be a trans-Plutonian, means outside of Pluto, massive object such as Planet X, Nemesis, Tyche. Since it actually would, by the way, it's Destroyer of Nations in, it's in the Bible. It's also in 2nd Ezra chapter 15, verse 40. Where it's called the horrible star. The horrible star. Second Esdras was ripped out of the King James 1611 version. That was part of the 14 books of the Apocrypha that were ripped out by guess who? Yeah. The Vatican. Don't think that was an accident. And that's just 14. There's a bunch more. But anyway, what this scientist is certain of is that the most likely reason why, and this is like, think about this, like April 2011. Where do you think we are right now? Because as it moves closer, why do you think there are two suns in the sky? Why do you think there are three suns in the sky? Why do you think you can see these things? Type two suns in the sky. On Google, go to the images, see if they haven't taken them all down yet. They probably have. I have a lot of them saved. The point is, this is a scientific paper that was peer-reviewed. Peer-reviewed means that other scientists with the same skills, the same credentials, the same doctorate degrees have to read over it and they have to agree with Mr. Lorio. Then it was published on Cornell University. You understand? Okay. So if you want to go and watch a film series, a TV series that's pretty much about this, you want to go and look up and nowadays with streaming, with Tubi and Freevee and all that kind of stuff, they have a lot of these old programs are just right there for free. You can just snatch them right up and watch them. The name was called not Deep Impact. It was just called Impact. Impact. Watch it. Because it's actually about a brown dwarf that they didn't really identify. What they identified was a chunk that broke away and hit the moon and caused meteor showers to strike the Earth. And then, I think it's like the second episode, which is the last one. It's just like two parts. You start seeing incredible things like trains being lifted off their tracks and going up into the sky and unbelievable stuff. Stuff that you would only imagine would happen in the Great Tribulation. But what about the second trumpet judgment? Huh? Something like that, like a mountain. I'm totally summarizing, but read it. Read Revelation. You get it. You get a blessing for reading Revelation. You should read it. Okay, but something like a mountain falls onto the earth, and a third of the seas and a third of the ships are, and the seas turn to blood. Why would they be turned to blood? You heard it from the guy that got laid off from NASA. A big iron oxide ball going through space is heading this way. So now you understand that the elliptical orbit is what's causing this insane heat, these massive fires everywhere. Oh no, it's not that. They're using weather control. It's all that. It's all weather control. It's all HARP. It's all this. It's all that. It's like, no, the second you start thinking like that, you are falling directly into the hands of Satan. Oh, it can't be anything that has anything to do with God. It's got to be harp. No, according to my Bible, it doesn't suggest, the Bible does not say that the forces of darkness are not going to do those kinds of things. It doesn't say anything about that. It just tells you what happens. So do they aggravate an already bad situation? Oh, you can better believe it. Yeah, absolutely they will. What about these ticks? My sister up in Pennsylvania, she calls me up and she starts talking about all these things. And she's like, the weirdest thing just happened to me the other day. I got bit by a tick. And I went in and I said, let me guess. A Lone Star tick with a white spot on its back. I said, how long was it inside you? And she said, well, pretty long. I went to the doctors and they mentioned alpha gal and all that kind of stuff. And I got to wait 3 or 4 days. And I said, you lay your hands on this, my sister, who's supposed to know all these things. But they forget. People forget. This is such a godless earth. They forget about the power of Jesus. And I said, lay your hands on the damn thing. Or I didn't say damn, but you know, forgive me for that. But you know what I'm saying. Lay your hands on the dang thing and cast it out. Say, I command in Jesus' name this to be healed. And she's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, you know. Anyway, it's amazing. We live in such dark times. The times that we live in right now, think about this. There are two scriptures, two, only two, in the Bible that talk about these kinds of things. Okay? But you got to understand, this was written, this was penned, arguably, through the Holy Spirit, of course. Okay? You know, some suggest 300 AD, I would suggest earlier because, you know, you had, there's the Textus Receptus, there's a long story behind that. You got to read about that and the Essenes and all that kind of stuff and how they hid it because they didn't want the conquerors from Pope Innocent to come in and commandeer it and call them heretics and everything else under the sun while they're slaughtering babies and men and women and children from the Bogomils and the different groups that were the Paulines, Paulicians and everything else that were the original people that were part of the pilgrim church during Paul's time on the earth, during the rest of the apostles' time on the earth. They killed them off, most of them. Many burned at the stake. They sung songs. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Oh, and by the way, when you get to the part that they started fighting back with weapons, that's when Satan took over. Because they lost the understanding of the power of Jesus. It's the first thing that goes away. We forget that we have power. Everybody forgets we have power. You better not forget you have power. And you better understand it. Because if you don't, wow. What you got to deal with, possibly while we're still here. So there are two verses that capture this period of time that we're in right now. We are definitely part of the fig tree generation. Two of them, only two. There's mention, there's little hints here and there, but you know, in the Old Testament, but I'm focusing on the new, because that's when Jesus came. The temple body, not the physical temple. And I cover all this on the website. If you don't go and read the articles, well, kind of not going to get it. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 through 5. And then you've got also 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 6. So Paul warns Timothy, of course, none of them know how long this is going to be in the future. But, you know, and, you, and it says like the earth, you know, to God, a day is like 1,000 years. Why would that be? This is simple science. The earth rotates in 24 hours. How many hours does planet heaven take to rotate? Have you thought about that? How long is a day in heaven? Have you thought about that? Well, there's your delta. Planet heaven must be pretty big. Has to be a lot of room for the disobedient Christians out in the valleys and such. If you knew Chew Thomas's book and stuff, we had her on the show. Matter of fact, did you know that the last show that Chew Thomas did before she passed away was Tribulation Now? Yep, absolutely true. Praise God. So anyway, 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 6 says, but know this. Now this is Paul talking to Timothy way back. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, haughty, headstrong, there's a good one for what's going on today, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Whoopsie daisy. Okay, you certainly don't want to hear anything about the devil, do you? Okay, and then have a form. Listen, this is so important. This is so important. Verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Any church that doesn't preach the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to run from. If you're going to one, shame on you. Get out of there. Try to find one. If you got to have that, if you got to have Jesus hugs, hopefully you're not getting sucked into the lies of the devil, because that stuff is out there everywhere. Perilous times. Dangerous. That's why the Lord told me, don't be listening to any of that stuff. Don't be listening to anything anybody gives you. And by the way, for those of you out there that are praying, oh Lord, oh please, don't let us go through all these terrible things. Listen, these are wonderful things. We want to go through these things. Don't you understand? You're not going to get to heaven without going through these things. Don't be praying against God's will. Everybody's like, why does this crazy guy, Johnny Baptist or whatever, why do I get excited about these times? Because this is our journey to Jesus. Don't pray about, no, be courageous. Stand up. Know that you have the power in Christ. Come against it. But people don't, because they deny the power. They deny the power. And then it ends the scripture by saying, and from such people, turn away. Well, golly, that pretty much eliminates every single church in the evangelical American. Oh, boy. Oh. All right. But then you also have another verse, and I'm going to close down on this one. 2 Timothy 4:3 through 5. Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, sound doctrine. All they want to hear is about the love of Jesus. While they got a couple of people standing in the congregation and they're proud to tell you that they're packing heat. They do not believe in the power of God, and they're jumping around for joy like a bunch of Pharisees thinking that they got it. Absolutely. It's, you know, and I'm like, no, that's not how it works. God saves such who have a contrite spirit. You've got to be the tax collector. If you're in a church that's going, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and running up and down the aisles and everything else, they don't get it. They have presumptuous sin. They just don't get it. We are filthy rags, and we are unworthy, and only through Jesus are we worthy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to anything about the devil. But, you know, and Satan and the threats and, you know, the scriptures that said, you know, if a righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? Or let every man seek out his own salvation with fear and trembling. No, they won't talk about that stuff. That would scare people. They wouldn't pump the collection plate. And they couldn't buy a bigger stereo entertainment system. This is what's going on out there right now. Because they have itching ears, meaning that they don't want to hear this stuff, because according to their own desires, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. Oh my. Golly gee, that sounds an awful lot like what's happening right now. Do you see it? Do you see it? But you be watchful in all things. See, we don't want to be turned aside by fables. No fables for us. Praise God. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Nowadays, you got to do it very, very carefully, very, very friendly. So come and get you. Look for your opportunities. God will bring. Pray. Pray in tears for opportunities to witness to people. And then it says to fulfill your ministry. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this unusual program with a short version of what I used to spend 3 hours on sharing with people. And boy, I got a whole lot more. Praise God. On Just Planet X. On all the other stuff, I got a whole bunch of more too. But anyway, praise God, I had a little bit of extra time. Situation at work is kind of weird. Pray for me, please. And if you mention me by name, believe me, I'm crying out to the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus for a tenfold anointing for you. Now, look, I don't expect God to just pour out this gigantic anointing and, you know, we all got to go through tribulation to make it in heaven. We all got to deal with it. But how do you deal with it? It's not whether you're going to deal with it. It's how you deal with it. We need to understand we have the power. We have the power. Praise God. And therein is your unusual weather forecast. It's going to get a lot worse. All while they got us hoodwinked and staring at the intended global takeover of the Khazari Mafia. God bless you all. I pray in Jesus' name that you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High on your knees in worship, brought down the walls of Jericho, busted up the iron on the gates and in prison. I mean, the whole deal. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Look, you pray fervently. You push through. You don't stop. But you got to take a pause. You must worship. And worship does not include asking for anything. God bless you all. Until next time.